This is the Home Tech Podcast Show, number 74, recorded on May 24th, 2012. I'm your host, Jim Collison, broadcasting live and commercial-free from the AverageGuy.tv studios here in a gorgeous Bellevue, Nebraska. We've had just a string of great weather days, and it's a good time to be here in the Midwest here in the United States. Of course, we post the show each week with world-class show notes that are mostly written by me now, because Andrew's just been crazy busy out at the Average Guy. Andrew, are we ever going to get you back on show notes?
Yeah. No, right. I'm getting there.
Who do I need to call? That's what I'm just saying. It's that important to me. Who do I need to call? Can you contact the show, podcast at theaverageguy.tv, track me down on Twitter at Jay Collison, follow the show to a new Twitter. It's hardly new anymore. We've had it out a couple weeks, but follow the show account, The Average Guy TV. We also have all the links to automatically download or stream the podcast to your iTunes, Zune, or Stitcher. And I'm in a race with Mike Howard to see how many Stitcher subscribers we can get. Mike, how many do you have at JPEG to RAW there?
We have over 30 subscribers.
Or listeners. I mean, what kind of listens are you getting on Stitcher?
We are getting, we're up to over 520 plays so far.
But what are you getting like in an average week? What are you getting on a podcast?
Oh, I don't know.
50 to 100. So we're in a race with Mike Howard. So if you haven't tried Stitcher, pop out there and go to Stitcher.com. You can do it on the web, or most Android or iPhones have a Stitcher app available for them. There's even a Stitcher app for the webOS. So if you still have one of those devices, pop out there, listen to The Average Guy. It's all streaming on Stitcher. And get us out there so we can beat JPEG to RAW, because that's what's really important. Hey, and do me a favor, if you're out there on your social platforms, that's Google+ or YouTube or Facebook, you can find us by searching The Average Guy Podcast and, you know, plus one or like or whatever that stuff. It's always nice to see folks are out there doing that. We have a brand new YouTube channel as well. Really not brand new, but The Average Guy TV on YouTube, and you can watch all the videos. In fact, this one, as soon as we're done, we'll go right out to YouTube and be available about 5 minutes after the show is over. So you can do that out there. All right, and then just a reminder that during the summer, 8 p.m. Central, the show is live. And join us out here at theaverageguy.tv live. All right, a big cast tonight, and two of the regulars are back. It's nice to have them both here at the same time. Of course, one is the busiest guy in Australia at the moment and hard to get a hold of it any time of the day, Andrew Morris. Andrew, how are you doing?
Losing my voice. I've been so busy. No, I've had a cold, so I'm a bit husky today. But I'm flat out. It's just crazy.
Yeah, they've been keeping you busy. That's good. That's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, that's true.
It's good to have you back and good to have you on the show. I know last week we had you on. You had a brief 5 minute appearance, and then
when I listened to the show, I think I had about 35 seconds worth of speak time, and then my phone rang and you didn't see me again.
That was it. You were gone.
I missed Gary's grumbles.
Good. Yeah, Gary's grumblings, new segment. And speaking of Gary's grumblings, the inventor of that segment and the guy behind Christian's Corner, as well as bios-mods.com, Christian Johnson. Christian, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. Actually got some sleep yesterday, so kind of looking alive. At least I think I am.
School's not out, right? I mean, you're still in school through May.
Yeah, I have Friday and Monday off for Memorial Day weekend, but I have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday to get my finals and final projects handed in, and then I'm out Friday to Virginia. So 3 days of in school stuff left. Had the award ceremony at the school today. Managed to pull a National Honor Society induction. Nice. With a presidential award for academic excellence signed by Obama, yours truly.
Yeah, President
and,
Obama.
Yes. Yeah. pulled the RIT Computing Medal. Comes with an actual metal.
No, oh, look at that. I should put it up to the screen here. Hold on. Let me change the...
It's the RIT metal seal, so that goes with a scholarship if you choose to enroll. So that was a good day.
Congratulations.
It was a good day.
And thank when you. Do you head out for the East Coast?
I head out Friday.
This Friday? Next Friday? A week from tomorrow?
Yeah.
Wow. Awesome. Yeah, so next week, show or no show for you?
I'll be packing. So there's a possibility, but I'm pretty sure I can swing it.
All right. So. Well, let's look forward to having you from live from NASA headquarters or whatever it is, in on the East Coast. We'll look forward to having you next week. And congratulations on all those things. That's
thank
pretty
you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Thank you.
You bet. Of course, from JPEG to RAW, and the guy who single-handedly keeps me in line when it comes to making sure my podcasts are crisp and clean and no caffeine, that's Mike Howard. Mike, how are you doing this evening?
Doing great, Jim. And while we may be beating you on Stitcher, you're killing us on YouTube.
Yeah. Just a behind-the-scenes kind of thing. Mike and I talk probably three or four times a week, and we're always comparing stats. YouTube versus Stitcher versus live stream versus whatever we can measure from a stat perspective, we are trying to do that. So it's a lot of fun.
And just an update, I still do not have on-air hangouts, which is kind of a joke between the two of us, because
there's Andrew off to work.
Which is still a joke between the two of us, because Jim, you have it on two accounts, don't you?
I do. The Average Guy Jim at theaverageguy.tv, as well as on my personal account. And you don't have it yet. I think something's wrong. I think maybe you got blacklisted at Google.
Oh yeah, because I'm
you
such a rebel.
Something bad in your podcast.
not about Google.
And so, JPEG to RAW is going well for you.
It is. Our Facebook group is going good. And you mentioned Stitcher. We had one of our listeners that we found on Stitcher, and that we haven't been on there that long, just joined our Facebook group. So it's that whole networking thing is working out really well.
Good. Well, it's always good to have you on the podcast, and thanks for coming out tonight. And then I want to introduce, and many of you who listen to the show know Rennie Phipps has been out behind the scenes filling in and chat. And is always there. Rennie, you don't miss a podcast. And so he said, we ought to just put you on the show since you're always there. And you went out and got a headset and stuff. Rennie, welcome to the Home Tech Podcast. Great to have you.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be here. Yeah. Long time listener, first time guest. Yeah. Actually missed last week, unfortunately, but that's the first one in a long time.
It's great to have you. You know, with Andrew being as busy as he is, we haven't had kept up on the Australia influence. And of course, you're up in Brisbane. And tell me a little bit about kind of your tech setup. What kind of gadgets do you use? What do you prefer?
I'm basically a Windows guy. But long story short, I contract ran out on my BlackBerry. Thank God. And, you know, I was thinking about another phone. No, actually, first, I was thinking about getting a Galaxy Tab. I had some money for my birthday last year, and I don't know whether you recall, but Apple took Samsung to court over the Galaxy here in Australia, and you couldn't get it for months and months and months. So I gave in and bought myself an iPad, mm-hmm. and I was surprised at how easy the integration was with Windows. There's just so many apps out there to make it all work together. So when the contract on my BlackBerry ran out, I had no hesitation in just running out and buying an iPhone and, you know, just trying to get the two systems to talk to each other and play nicely has been sort of the current focus of what I'm up to. But, I'm a complete hobbyist, by the way. Never worked in IT.
Yeah.
Never been on a course for IT or anything like that. So basically just self-taught.
Well, that's kind of the way, you know, there's a lot of guys that listen to the show that that kind of come at it from that angle.
That's how we do it.
And it's good to have you on the show. You and I, we were doing some sound checks last week and to kind of test your equipment before you came on the show. And we actually had you come in from your iPad via a headset, and the video was actually really good. And Mike, you can plug your ears here for a second. The video and the audio are actually really good right off the iPad. I was pretty impressed. We had a good conversation via Skype, right? Was that what we did?
Yeah, via Skype. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
and that was
good.
I was using the old headset from the BlackBerry, which was about the only good thing about the whole phone.
Yeah. It was surprisingly, I said, you know what, this would be good enough for, I mean, you sound really good right now, but that setup, the iPad using the front-facing camera and those earbuds with the microphone was good enough to do podcasting with. I was pleasantly surprised. So maybe we'll have to catch you from a remote location sometime and you can come in on the iPad. How's that sound?
Well, I live out in the bush somewhere, so it's pretty remote.
He's always
go outside.
Yeah, now you're up near Brisbane, is that right?
Yeah, just southeast of Brisbane, about half an hour out of the city.
Okay.
But I live on a couple of acres. You know, where we live, there's literally koalas in the trees and wallabies jumping around and all that sort of stuff.
All the stereotypical, all the stuff the folks here in the States find stereotypical about Australia.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, it's great to have you on the show. Appreciate you coming in and adding your content to the show that we have tonight. All right, let's get right to it. And let's get to some subjects. One, I want to start off with, of course, was the Facebook IPO that went live here on the, I want to say on the 18th. I think
Jim had a vision.
In the afternoon of the 18th. Yeah, you know, Christian, it wasn't too close, you're not too far off. Somebody was in my office on the 17th that I work with, and they were like, hey, so are you going to get in on this Facebook IPO? And I said, all right, here's Jim's prediction. It's going to go nowhere, and then I will publicly say I think we'll look back at the end of the decade and Facebook might be the single largest tech bubble of this decade. It started at $38 a share and worked its way down nicely to 31 at some point. Mike, you just looked that up, right?
And it's like at 33. Yeah, it closed at 33.03.
And yeah.
Jim, just a second. Are you getting video on your site?
What do you mean?
I don't see.
Yeah, you just gotta kick the page refresh, I think.
Okay.
Out to theaverageguy.tv/live.
Yeah.
Let's just take a quick census in chat, guys. Are you seeing the video that's out there? The chat is amazingly quiet. I don't usually we get a little traffic out there for having as many folks logged in and viewing. No video is what you're saying? Oh, that's not good. How can that be?
I hate to stop you, but I didn't want just to show.
And so they said now, no, that's fine. They said now they lost audio. So live streamers, hang tight for 1 second. If you hear us, I'm going to stop the video real quick and restart it. We might need to refresh the browser. So again, I'll say this again because the audio just kicked out a second. We're going to stop. You guys don't need to do anything. We're going to stop the video for a second and restart it. We'll be right back. That's kind of weird.
That no smoking on the show.
Busted.
Let's see here.
Okay. Had you guys ever seen video on the site?
It should be coming through live stream.
Yeah, but, I'm on.
You're at the site.
I'm at your live page.
And,
you're seeing it? Maybe it's just me then.
No, I'm not getting it either.
Huh. All right, 1 second here.
Just this is Home Tech Podcast tonight.
This is something that just normally is so automatic, I don't even think about it. Hold on, let me see here. Oh, you know what? I never took off the banner. Why didn't somebody tell me to take off the banner?
There we go.
There's the video for you. Oh, makes me actually want to start the show over because then that's going to show up. Well, it'll be on YouTube. I'll just download the YouTube and edit the YouTube video because the live stream piece won't have affected YouTube. So that's fine.
Yeah.
So, all right, let's do a quick check. You guys, all right, it looks like we're back. You had our audio. Why didn't you tell me I had the screen up before we got started? I have too many pieces to kind of keep track of.
You can blame me too. I waited too long to tell you. Sorry.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Okay.
So we'll start back over Facebook, maybe.
Yeah. No. Let's just keep going. I'll do the edit in there. So the Facebook IPO kicked out at 38. Went all the way down to 31 at one point. I'm not confident that really. I mean, it's up at 33. There's a lot of a lot of institutional money in it, which I think is supporting it at this point. That a lot of folks jumped in because I think it's just a huge bubble at this point. I really don't see Facebook revenue ever being anywhere close to being able to substantiate the stock value. Mike, you're the accountant, though. Let me ask your opinion on maybe what you know about it. Have you done any digging into it? Do their numbers support what they've got?
You know, I've done very little digging, so all this would just be speculation. Don't invest based on what I say. But you know, when they came out of when they came off IPO, they came out with 100 billion market cap. So more than half the market cap of somebody like Google, I don't know where Microsoft is now, but, you know, a huge market cap. To me, that left them no room to move up. They were, you know, something like 120 times the price to earnings ratio. And you gotta think they do have capability to produce a lot of revenue. They got what they say they have 900 million users. Now, how many unique users they have, maybe something, you know, quite smaller than that. But even if it is, you know, 300 million, 400 million, 500 million, it's a lot of people. I think once you start trying to really wring the money out of those people, you're gonna really open up the market for someone else to take some of that. So I think, let's say they decide, I'm going to start charging everybody $1 a month, $10 a year, $5 a year, some nominal amount. I think people, that would actually turn people off and open the door for somebody else to start another Facebook-like thing. I think that at $100 billion in market cap, there's just no room for them to move up.
Yeah, I wouldn't disagree with you. I think it's a lot of hype. And not, I mean, I don't think they really have the revenue to support that at this point. Nor do I really see the Google ad revenue, the explosion that we saw with Google and their ad revenue when over the last 5 years, half decade, that's very sustainable because of the Google's business model. I'm not sure folks will tolerate the same kind of ad, the same kind of search ad techniques that Google used. And I just don't see, I don't ever see Facebook users paying for anything. It's been free too long. They're never going to pay to be in the service. They would flock away like crazy if they ever decided to do that.
Well, let's think about this. So you and I both have a Facebook page. You for The Average Guy, me for JPEG to Raw. Probably our companies all have a Facebook page. Our companies probably be willing to pay something to continue to have that Facebook page.
Maybe.
But, you know, there's a lot of individuals who have smaller businesses or just podcasts like us who don't make any money that probably we wouldn't be willing to pay for a Facebook page.
Yeah.
Let's say they charge us $100 a year to have that Facebook page. You know, now we'd have to decide whether we really want to keep that. I think if they'd come out maybe half what they did, maybe at 17 and or something like that, with a $50 billion market cap, then they had some room to move up.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
There's going to be lawsuits, trust me.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. I mean, I've got a Facebook page for a social group of friends, you know, and we use that to coordinate when we're going to get together and what we're going to do. And if Facebook wanted to charge us for that, we'd just use something else.
Yeah, so that's what I think a lot of people would do, is they would do something else. Now, like my company, if it was $100 a year or even $1,000 a year, we probably would pay it because, you know, we have so many people following us on there.
Yeah, and so you say like business only, Mike, if they just charge businesses to have access to it and left it free for the consumer?
Or if they just charge for pages.
Yeah, well, I could see that.
So, for instance, you know, my company, $1,000 for a page a year, I'm just making up numbers here. I don't have any insight. That would be cheap advertising, a cheap way to communicate to, you know, your million followers or however many you have. That's cheap advertising. You do it. But for like Andrew said, like you probably wouldn't, I wouldn't pay $100 a year to maintain my Facebook page.
Right. No, I'm not going to pay. Rennie, are you getting any different feel there in Australia from a news standpoint? Are you guys getting much news on this IPO at all? It's kind of been the buzz of all the tech industry here. And of course, everybody's trying to sue Facebook now. Are you guys, is there a focus there at all on it?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I guess typical of the Australian press, the focus seems to be on the fact that, you know, some banks were in the know and others weren't about, you know, revised earnings forecast, that sort of thing. And then you see, you know, Zuckerberg pockets $1 billion before the ass drops out of the price.
Right.
And that's not a good look, you know.
Yeah.
It smells a bit.
It does. I think everything that could have been crooked was probably crooked on this deal. I mean, it always these kinds of things always kind of reek of the good old boy networks that go on. And of course, that's another thing that kind of bothers me, is that there's just a lot, and that we're only maybe seeing the smoke and not the actual fire behind the scenes. I mean, if these kinds of things are public, what's private that's being held back that we're not seeing?
What you forget too on these larger flights is The underwriters will actually have an arrangement to stand in the market and keep buying the stock if it starts to go south. And but that can't last forever. So there could be a little bit of levitation under the stock still.
Absolutely.
Might have a bit further to drop yet once that facility goes away.
That's what we don't know, is how much they're still propping it up. Now, I looked at Microsoft. Their market cap is $244 billion. So, you know, does Facebook deserve, about a half of what Microsoft is? I don't think so.
Not when you count the guaranteed revenue that Microsoft has right now. Yeah. That comes in. You know, Oracle would be in the same boat. Just cash. Those companies are just cash machines. I mean, they could basically print their own money. Apple's in the same boat. Now, you know, Apple's revenue could change very, very quickly. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Apple could change quickly if they did something to the retail market, where it would take a lot longer for a company like Microsoft or Oracle's financials to change, just because they live off of the maintenance market. But yeah, I'm with you, Mike. I just don't see it supporting that kind of market cap. There's just too much hype at this point.
Yeah, I just looked it up, and Microsoft has like almost 20 times the revenue of a Facebook.
Yeah. I'd love to.
Oh. The market's pretty jittery at the moment too.
Yeah,
the whole market's come down.
Yeah,
I think it'd be interesting to see what it'd do to that Facebook alternate, the open source thing. You know, where you can run your own proxified version of it. I'm just trying to think what it's called. It's an open source thing that you can run on your own PC, and it gives you a clouded type thing. Diaspora, it's called.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, and I don't think anything like that would ever, you know, the reason Facebook's so popular is because it's easy and everybody's on it. It would take a monumental failure on Facebook's part to get people to leave it at this point. And flock away from it. Paul Breran, who's I think listening at this point, had put in a post in Google Plus this week about social. I think it's so.cl from Microsoft, and that's kind of, it came out of Microsoft Labs, and that's a Facebook-like platform. And I kind of looked at it for a second and went, no, this is, you know, it's kind of Facebook about 6 years ago.
Does everybody feel like Microsoft is playing about 5-6 years behind?
Yeah.
Ooh, I got a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, let's create a network.
Let's create a social platform. Yeah. No, it was horrible. It was horrific. I know they're trying to come at it from a different angle, but it was still pretty.
I think that what Google Plus has shown, and it does have, you know, what do they have, 100 million? I forgot. I lost track of how many they have.
350 million now.
They're up to 350 million?
I think so.
The thing with Facebook is, you know, your mom, maybe even your grandma is on there, and it is so easy for them. Everybody, you know, their whole family is on there. Google can come out with something new. Microsoft can come out with something new. They don't really care. You know, I've got what I need here on Facebook. They're not like maybe us and maybe the people listening to the show, where they're going to jump to the next greater thing because, ooh, they got Google Hangouts, so they got, you know, a better way to show photos. They're fine with Facebook. And it's sort of like the Wii. When the Wii came out, it got that huge appeal because it broke a barrier where, you know, the PlayStation and the Xbox were just for hardcore gamers. The Wii opened it up to a whole new a group. And I think Facebook is like that too. It went beyond the tech people and down to the average person.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think, well, some interesting, we'll certainly track it. This isn't going to be some kind of financial, I do a financial tech podcast, and next time I'm with Andrew, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Facebook IPO for sure. But it is embedded in the tech world right now, and, you know, these big companies, now that they've all consolidated, are going to start going after each other. So I think there's some interesting days coming up in the days of our lives of in court and tech battles kind of going forward. Oh, let's talk about something positive. Mike, you've had your eye on the Galaxy S3. I know you've mentioned it several times. Tell me what you know, and I'm a Galaxy S2 guy, right? And you've got the Galaxy Note that you're sporting there. What is it that you're seeing in the Galaxy S3 that you're liking?
So first, my real phone is the first version of Galaxy. work gave me to play with a Galaxy Note. And I love it. It's fast. It's got a huge screen. You know, was that a 5-inch screen?
Yeah, 5.2.
5.2-inch screen. Huge screen. It's fast because it's got a dual core. So my original Galaxy is a single core, 1 gigahertz. This is a dual core, 1.5. What I like about the new Galaxy, this actually is probably a little bit too big for me, is you know, as much as I like to say I like it that much. The Galaxy 3 has a quad core, 1.4 gigahertz. Crazy fast. And that's just...
You know, I don't find the dual core on my Galaxy 2 that slow.
And I will tell you, I use this quite a bit today, playing Pandora through the truck when I was driving around, making phone calls through the Bluetooth. The Bluetooth syncs up with my truck no problem every time. I mean, it's just rock solid, where my original Galaxy has troubles all the time.
Yeah. Do you have a truck that carries the battery so you can recharge that Note when it every hour when it?
Well, and you can suck the battery. So I was using GPS and Pandora on this thing for like a 2-hour drive, and it sucked the battery pretty fast.
Yeah.
So yeah, I do have it plugged into the cigarette lighter the whole time. But what I like about the new Galaxy is just the speed.
Okay.
So if to tell you the truth, when my contract comes up, if the only thing was out was the Galaxy 2, I would have got that. The Galaxy 3 is just that much and better. I don't think the camera is that much more improved. I think it's still 8 megapixel, which is fine for a cell phone.
And you took some pictures with it, and they turned out pretty well. You posted those on Facebook.
Yeah, you know, the beautiful thing about this phone, I'm sure yours too, the Galaxy 2, and I know the Galaxy 3, is the GPS tagging with the photos. So let's say you're out and like me, you don't always carry your big camera with you. You just go and take some little snapshots and a GPS tags it. And so you say, this is a spot I want to come back later and take, you know, a big camera, tripod and all that kind of stuff. I just tag it. Now when I come home and load those into Lightroom, all those photos I took are placed in a map inside Lightroom so I can see where I was. I was on a boat in the middle of a lake and I got photos with me tagged in the middle of the lake, which is
nice.
Cool.
Yeah, and it showed up on the map that way.
Yeah. I wasn't wanting to come back with a tripod in the middle of the lake. I was just taking the photos there.
What's, Andrew, what's kind of the hot phone? Are they any different? I mean, are you guys seeing anything different seeing?
I think a lot of the market's waiting for the Galaxy S3 to come out as well out here. Okay. From what I'm seeing, we're in a bit of a state of flux. I mean, that we've just had the HTC One XL released and the HTC Velocity 4G. So they're very much in that sort of bracket as well. But I think a lot of people have seen the S3 coming down the pipe and, ooh, quad core, you know, nice new shiny. It's one that you can do pretty much whatever you will with, given that it's a developer phone as well.
Yeah, I just don't see the quad core playing. I mean, okay, I see why we want it, right? Because we're enthusiasts and more power is always better, right? But I don't see the average consumer caring.
I reckon it's going to be a bit of a battery pig, to be honest.
Yeah, well, that would be my fear.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a single core now, and if I get a day out of that at the moment, I'm doing exceptionally well.
And you have Android on yours?
Yeah, I'm running 2.3.7, I think.
So you're on Gingerbread. Yeah. Rennie, your iPhone, right?
That's right, yeah. My son's got an S2.
What kind of battery life are you getting on your iPhone on a daily
really
basis?
Really excellent, actually. They did... They put out a patch for it about 2 months ago, and it's really done a good job. I'm getting 2 days out of mine.
Okay,
not so a heavy user, but
you're on a 4S.
Yeah. 4S, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I'm getting at least a day. Well, by the time I get home, I do have to charge it up. But I'll listen to a podcast on a Note driving into work, and listen to one on the way back, or Pandora, and it goes a day.
And my S2 is about a day, although lately I've only been getting to about 2 or 3 o'clock, and it's been I have to plug it in. Now I also have, and I'll talk about this towards the end of the show. I also have a Lumia 800 that I've been that I got from Nokia that is a demo unit, and I get 2 solid days out of that Lumia. It's It's really a battery. I mean, I don't know if it's Windows Phone 7 or if it's the Nokia or what, but that I'm getting off Windows Phone. I am getting 2 solid days. Christian, what about you're on your Winmo 6.5, right? What kind of, and you have an older phone, so what kind of battery life are you at this
point? I bought the extended battery for this thing, so not that it's a different size, but they're these, it's kind of hard to see, but they were pretty cheap in price too, these Galileo battery packs, and I have 2 of these, and I keep one on the wall at all times on the wall charger, and then I just swap them out when I'm out of juice. And if I keep the Bluetooth radio off, I can at least get a couple days out of it. But if I do have the Bluetooth radio on and I using hands free, I definitely won't get more than a day out of it. The Bluetooth is a big killer on here, but if you just leave it to the, I mean, again, this isn't a 4G enabled phone, but if you're just using 3G and the occasional call and texting, you can get a couple days out of it. No problem.
So let me do a quick survey of you guys, and I want to ask you, okay, remember, this is an average guy. So if you were going to give some advice to the average guy at this point about a phone to go with, right? So your friend comes up to you and says, hey, look, I'm on fill in the network, and they can get any phone on that network. We'll make that assumption. Andrew, I'm going to start with you. What's the phone that you're going to recommend to your average guy friend at this point?
iPhone?
Okay.
Yep, because I'm never gonna get a call to support it.
All right, that's fair enough. Christian, what are you gonna do?
Oof. I mean, I'm kind of one of those out of the box people, so
I know. But what are you gonna give your average guy friends?
What am I gonna give them?
What kind of advice are you gonna give them? All right, you think, Mike Howard?
All right, easy. Galaxy S2 now.
No way.
If you can wait a little bit, Galaxy S3.
And
here's
why?
A prediction for you.
All right.
iPhone is going to start, instead of leading the pack, following the pack. They're going to chase the Galaxy S3, and they're going to be forced to offer a larger screen.
No.
Well, I do think the larger screen is coming, for
but
sure.
I think
right?
There's not
because they want to, because they're competing.
Oh, I think they have to, for sure.
It's pushing them to.
All right, hold on, Christian. You're thinking.
I don't know. There's 2 camps there. There's the big screen camp and the small screen camp. And I guarantee you, like, the average person in my age group could care less about screen size. But once you start getting either A, enthusiasts, or B, people over 20, 25, yeah, the large screen starts applying. But I don't know. I think there's a fair amount of people who would still subscribe to the current screen size.
So are you saying in your generation, so let's say 15 to 25,
yeah,
you're saying screen size doesn't matter?
If they're an average person that's just looking for texting and whatever's trending now, doesn't matter at all.
That's interesting.
They honestly, probably the biggest thing for phone-crazed people is ones that they can text fast quickly on. I mean, I've actually seen people who have the I can't remember, they the Swipe. Verizon, no, the basic Verizon phone used to have like this VCast phone that was like their generic like texting enhanced, but it didn't have internet. It was just their basic texting smartphone.
Yeah, their free phone.
You would see these kids with the number pad behind their back, and you know, when they're not supposed to be texting, and you're sitting behind them, right, and their thumb is just drilling at these numbers like it's no one's business, and they're clicking the 9-4 times and going around, and I'm like, what are you doing with your life right now?
It's almost like Morse code, right? I mean, they're so good.
But,
yeah.
I mean, if they aren't even looking at a screen, they're not going to be caring about screen size. They just want to get their message out. So affords them to do that is one thing. But once you start getting into the adult and mature audiences, I think screen size becomes the issue.
Okay, so do you have your average guy pick, Christian? Have you thought that through?
Yeah, I think I would say I'm going to have to come back to that in another minute.
Randy, what's going to be your average guy pick for a phone? What are you going to recommend?
Well, I'd tell people to, have a look at all 3 phones. You know, don't forget the Windows phone. I mean, a lot of people find that dead easy to use. The Galaxy phones are great phones. The iPhone is it's very popular for a good reason. It works. Great app store. There's a million useless apps in there, and 50 that are really good. Play with all of them and see what you like best. They're all good. They're all going to do the job.
Okay, so you're gonna not commit at this point.
I'm agnostic on that.
your phone.
I feel like Rennie's view is the way to go. If I had to pick like a second decision, I would probably say Android. In terms of specific phones, I'm pretty into the HTC line. They always put out a good product. We're talking about the whole larger screen bandwagon, and the stuff HTC put out in like 08 and 09, when large screen wasn't even a word people thought about with phones over 3.2 inches. And then they came out with the Mogul, which was before Android. It was a Winmo 6 phone, somewhat similar form factor to this. And people just loved it for the screen size. But really, when you saw that first Evo 4G, that was the first thing Sprint carried that was mainstream, that had the large screen size, and people just gravitated right towards it. I mean, they had record number of sales on that Evo 4G, and I think, the Evo 3D wasn't really that much of a revolution over the 4G, and no, probably the LTE after it won't be that much either. But heck, that jump that HTC made, and I'm still convinced that is one of the main things, that the main reason why Sprint is still here, is because of what they've been able to accomplish in their partnership with HTC. So you're going to see a lot of strong hardware now and in the future market with HTC, and HTC has been more frequently siding towards the Android platform because of the HTC Sense package they've put together. So I think that's a really strong option for someone who's got a little bit of tech in them, a little bit of not wanting to get too complicated, and looking for something that's cross-platform, and that's definitely going to give you all those things, plus a kicking screen size if you want it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what's your pick, Jim?
You know what? Every day I'm getting more and more impressed by this Windows Phone 7 implementation on the Nokia device, on this Lumia device. It's the actual Nokia apps are much better than some of the Windows Phone apps, and Nokia's made a run at it. We'll talk some more about. I'm not going to talk about it now. We'll talk some more about it this weekend. We put some special podcasts together just for the Lumia 800 review. So watch the AverageGuy.tv Twitter, and we're going to put out a couple special podcasts this weekend and next, if I can get some folks together. Really good implementation for the average guy. Rennie, you said this. I think the Windows Phone is drop dead easy. It makes sense. It's intuitive. It works right off the bat. Calling somebody and using their People's Hub is dynamite. Music is easy to get to. For the things that the average guy uses the most, I think the Windows Phone is dynamite for that. They lack apps, but I think they're coming.
Can I mention one more thing?
Yeah, go.
So we all made our picks. Rennie said, I think they should check out all three.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about four? Nobody mentioned four, and actually it has about five times the market share right now.
Nokia S60.
Right now it has about five times the market share of Windows Phone, and that is BlackBerry.
BlackBerry's dead. Everybody knows that.
So you look at it, and BlackBerry is losing a little bit more market share every quarter than Microsoft, but they have a lot further to go. So you got to imagine Microsoft has bottomed out, and they're going to start climbing now that Nokia is starting to put out phones. So what do you think? BlackBerry's really only play is to just give up and go Android, or give up and go Windows.
If you're a BlackBerry user, you go to Windows.
If they try and stick it out and say, we're going to keep developing BlackBerry, they will go to nothing.
Yeah. I don't disagree. And like I said, if you're a BlackBerry, Rennie, you said, well, it depends on the person. And if it's my friend and they're a BlackBerry user, I'm going to say you should try the Windows Phone before you make any decisions on either an iPhone or an Android. And for the average person, Android is the last thing I want to put them in.
I disagree.
Well, that's fine. I just think for the average guy,
I mean, Android, let's be honest. Where is Windows 7 going? Nowhere. Because where is Windows 8 going? Back to Windows ME. No, but you can see the cyclical pattern.
The question wasn't where the phone is going. The question is for the ease of use for the average user.
Okay,
like,
what phone
are you going to give them?
What makes Windows Phone 7 easier than Android?
I've used all three. Right, I've used Windows. I've used iPhone. I've used Android. And by far, the Windows Phone is the most, in my opinion, is the most intuitive, easiest one to use.
So
the UI is easier, getting to things is easier, finding people, making a phone call is easier, turning the camera on is easier, using the navigation is easier.
Okay, so wait. Let's just backtrack just a little bit, folks. All right, let's define what is the average guy doing with their phone. Let's get that out on the table first. What is the average guy doing with their phone beyond making a call and sending a text message?
Playing Angry Birds.
Playing some games. I think they use them. It's a navigation device. They've used them instead of GPS.
GPS. All right.
Music.
Okay.
And music.
Mm-hmm. Music. Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah. Getting to Facebook and maybe Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything else? We got six.
I think that's the main I can think of. What?
Yeah.
Anything else?
So Sarah says in chat, camera, texting, games, phone calls. That's what all her friends do. She's the average gal.
We'll add pictures. Okay, so let's talk about calling. What is the main difference between your Windows Phone 7 concept and the Android calling concept of hitting the talk button and selecting from the contacts that makes it different?
Well, I think you can set both up on speed dial, so they're just two clicks away.
Okay.
Right? So that in that case, maybe they're equal.
So pretty comparable. All right.
They're probably pretty close.
Okay.
And iPhone would be the same way. Yeah.
Okay. So let's move on to texting.
But finding a person on the Windows Phone, I think, is easier. If you're going into your contacts, I think it's a little easier to find them in your contacts.
Well, see,
and make the call from there.
The HTC Sense, which would be, if it's on this, which is Windows, it would be on the Android version too. If I type the numbers that with the letters under it that corresponds to the person in my phone book, it'll bring up the name rather than me sitting here scrolling through people. So if I want to bring up...
Yeah, same on Android, Windows Phone.
If I want to bring up your contact card, I hit 5-4 and you're right in the list, I think. Okay, yeah. I got other gems.
Oh,
yeah.
Fail. No,
yeah.
Just kidding.
So
yeah. Hey, so, Christian, I don't wanna do, we're going too deep into
all
the weeds.
All right,
I'm gonna pull us out.
My point being that I don't see Android has the car panel, the automated talking, they're obviously rolling out new apps with Google Direct Play.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how many average people I've talked to, the average guy who is frustrated with the voice, who's very frustrated with the voice features on both the iPhone and Android.
Interesting. And
I kind of miss the voice features on the Windows Phone that I've been using it, but I can't tell you how many people have trouble getting that voice thing.
I mean, I'm very happy with 6.5 and sad that I'm not up to date in the latest phone world and that it's 3 years old, but this phone honestly does everything I need it to do. So
right.
I'd need to play with a Winmo 7 to give you more.
We've gone a little farther than I wanted to on the phone discussion. It's all good. And actually a buddy of mine at work said to me the other day, because I was listening to your podcast and you don't talk to the average guy. You're way above the average guy. And so just for Andy Grossans is his name. I'm bringing it down, Andy. This was for you. We're bringing it down to the average guy. So hopefully he'll listen to this. I told him I'd mention him on the podcast. All right. A couple other things. And Christian, by all means, I'm not trying to squash you at this point.
It's fine.
I know you and I will debate this for a while because we're both pretty strong-willed, so we should probably stop at this point. Mike, you've got two quick points in there from your show. Yeah. You want to drop those in? And then
I'll give you an average guy thing.
All right.
So if you have a digital SLR and you want the new ones that take video, and you've always wondered, why can it only take like 30 minutes of video? There must be some special technical thing because the chip's overheating and all that kind of stuff. Nope. It just came out that the reason they do that is because countries charge a tax on video cameras that record 30 minutes or more of video. They define a video camera as anything that records 30 minutes or more of video. So the way the DSLR manufacturers, Nikon, Canon, and so on, get away from that tax is by cutting off the video at 30 minutes or shortly before 30 minutes. Yeah, so there's actually a move going out there now to try and get that changed so they aren't taxed that way. But that's, you know, comes down that we all pay taxes, and it's actually impacting tech in a way that you might not have thought of.
That's too funny.
The other thing, just real quick, is, you know, a while back I mentioned that Adobe had told their customers that if you don't own the current version of our software, let's say like Photoshop or Lightroom, if you don't own the current version or the immediate prior version, when we come up with an upgrade, you got to pay full upgrade price. So, for instance, if you're on Lightroom 3 and you want Lightroom 4, you can get the upgrade price. If you're on Lightroom 2, you got to pay full price. And I think that's actually going to be with the next series, not the current one. That it got people up in arms, people upset about Adobe, and that policy I think is still out there. Well, they just did something else to really upset a lot of people, and there's a huge security bug in CS5, which is the prior version of Photoshop. CS6 came out last month. CS5, they found a flaw that if you load a TIFF file, you think about most photos are JPEG, RAW, or TIFF. You load a TIFF file that had special code in it, a hacker could take control of your computer. So you pull up Photoshop, you load up the TIFF file, bam, he's got control of your computer. Adobe came out and said the fix is upgrade to CS6.
Sure, why wouldn't they?
Yeah, well, and that's fine if CS6 wasn't like a month old and the previous version, you know, is still fairly new. I mean, eventually you cut off support, but right. You cut off support, you know, the same month you release a new one. So when questioned about it, and they released got a lot of heat, they followed up and backed up and said, no, we're not going to fix it. Your fix is to upgrade to CS6. So they can't come back and say, sorry, it was a miscommunication. They can't do that. They followed it up and said, with something on their website, even backing it up, the solution is upgrade to CS6. The latest thing I've heard is they have now agreed, okay, we will support.
So they're backtracking a little bit and saying going back. Yeah, our friends at Adobe.
What you often hear is a company comes out with such a horrible decision like that, will come right back around and say, no, you misunderstood what we said.
Yeah.
But they followed it up with a press release to tell you, no, we meant you got to upgrade. Be looking for that. It's a big bug, but probably wouldn't affect that many people.
Sure, sure.
But okay, good stuff. That's a quick photo.
There's a quick JPEG to RAW highlight moment. So, Rennie, you asked the question. You didn't, but in the show notes, you asked the question, should I change my password? And so you put a link to a site in there called shouldichangemypassword.com. Talk to me a little bit about why would I want to check? What's wrong with my password?
Yeah, it wasn't a personal reference, Jim.
No, I know.
It's a site I stumbled on yesterday through some newswire story, and it's actually an online database of about 9 million email addresses that are known to have been compromised. So you don't have to put in a password or anything like that. You just put in an email address whether you suspect it might have been hacked or not.
And when you say compromised, what do you mean by it? I mean, what is that? What is compromised?
Or hacked or someone else has been using it, or the password is known and you know, being passed around the internet, that sort of thing.
So I just put in the email account that I use all the time, and I get the green check, which is good. It looks like your password may be safe. No instances of compromises are recorded in the database. However, it's good practice to change your critical passwords regularly, ensure that they are not reused across multiple sites, which is horrible for me. But did you put any of your emails in to see if any of them were compromised?
Yeah, mine are all good, but I use pretty strong passwords and LastPass and to keep them really complex and stuff. So
how do you think
I wasn't terribly shocked.
How do you think they get the database of this? I mean, what's the source to know that these emails have been compromised, do you think?
I do not know that. I suspect it might be. I really don't know.
Maybe
I'm
security.
Sure if you look on the site, they'll tell you.
Yeah, maybe it does say down here, we combed the depths of the internet to find email and password data sets that have been hacked. So it looks like they're trying to track down hacked. You know, I'm sure those things get sold or are posted out there for hackers to use, or spy bot or mail bots to use for spamming purposes.
Yeah, they might have got the information from, say, Sony last year when that was hacked. You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's interesting. So a good security check. I actually, next Tuesday, I'm doing at our church, I'm kind of doing a little 15 or 20 minute security overview for folks, where we're going to go in and talk a little bit about how they can secure their home environment with some simple tools like OpenDNS or K9 web filtering. This is kind of a nice little check if you've ever suspected or thought maybe your main email had been compromised in some way. Drop it in here and it'll come back and give you a yeah, we think it has, or no, we don't think it has. And that's kind of a reoccurring or a reassuring feeling. Christian, did you put an email in there? Did you try it out?
I'm trying to find the link.
Oh, just go to I dropped it out there in the okay. Hangout chat if you want to take a peek at it.
And chat asked about LastPass. LastPass?
I've heard that.
Yeah, now, Rennie, you use LastPass.
I use it.
Yeah, and how do you give us a quick little overview of LastPass?
Well, LastPass stores all your passwords in the cloud, and you just got the one master password you use to access it. But because it's all stored, off-site, so to speak, you can have strings of 64 characters for passwords if you like, or, make them as complicated as you want, and it doesn't matter. You're never going to remember them all, but, LastPass is a good way of actually, filing all your various passwords, and you can log in automatically using LastPass. So it's a great service.
Yeah, it's a good way to keep track, and especially keep your passwords different across accounts, because it can generate special passwords just by account so that they're not all the same.
Doesn't that sound dangerous? And you got all your passwords in one place. Let's just hit that place.
Well, but it's super secure. I mean, there's a lot of security that goes into making sure.
That's what Sony said the day before they were hacked.
Sony never said that, Mike. Sony never said they were super secure.
Everybody thinks they're secure until...
Yeah.
Andrew, oh, well, they're saying out in chat that it got the Steve Gibson seal of approval, so...
Then it's got to be good.
Yeah.
Andrew, are you LastPass guy?
No.
At all? Christian?
Nah.
No purse.
No? Why not, Andrew?
I use one password that takes about 6 weeks to crack using LoftCrack, so I figure that's good enough.
Okay. And you probably base that password on some kind of sentence or something
to help you
remember it. Okay.
It's
don't give away characters. Your secrets, man.
It's just a 12-character word that takes Andrew, forever to crack.
Is it let me type this out. Is it Andrew Dash Morris?
Andrew is great. Now, Christian, you've got one of those complex passwords, right, that you use that is part of a sentence, right? Some people, to get these complex passwords, make them a part of a sentence that they
I base all my passwords off a series of router encryption keys that I memorized because I was doing all these router installations as a kid and kept generating these new web keys for people. So
wait a minute. As a kid? You're still a kid.
Well, as a kid. So
yeah, no, I gotcha.
So throwing in all these web keys, they started sticking in my head, so I kind of mushed a lot of them together. And
sure.
It's like my master cipher, and then I create new password generations so that no two passwords are the same. But if I forget it, I can go back to that master key and figure it out.
Yeah. So kind of a master key, and then you change it slightly per whatever you're using it for unique. Yeah. It's a good way to do it. You know, most people just have a single password, and that's really not great, because if one thing gets compromised, then they all do. But most of the folks that listen know that. So if you are the average guy and you're listening and you've got all the same passwords, you should come up with some techniques to add some numbers and some letters and some characters and some of those kinds of things.
I have an Excel spreadsheet.
Oh, like that's secure.
Well, let's see you get it.
I won't get it. I'll send Christian after it.
And I use special characters and all that kind of stuff. So right. I often can't remember them, so I have to go to my spreadsheet to pull them out.
Sure. And you got that spreadsheet kind of buried behind your firewall. And,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Behind the super router. Stuff.
You had to get that in, didn't you? Rennie, you'd throw in one more piece in the notes about WMP Tag Plus, which is an application to help you do the ID, I assume the ID3 tags on an MP3 file. All that really means is the metadata or the data associated with a music file, right?
Yeah, and a particular type of music file, Jim. It's mainly for FLAC, which is a free lossless audio codec, and OGG files. I myself keep most of my music in FLAC because I've got a heap of storage, a really nice high end AV receiver, and Bowers and Wilkins speakers and all that sort of stuff. So I don't want
kind of an audio
MP3
file. Is what you're saying, right? You high fidelity audio is very important to you.
Indeed, yeah. The problem is that when you put those files into Windows Media Player, they don't show up as albums. They just get chucked into other media, and just an alphabetical order by track, which is really useless. And what WMP Tag Plus does is enables FLAC to be recognized as a native codec in Windows Media Player, so you get all the album metadata essentially for FLAC files, and so also MP4, the Apple lossless codec as well, which again isn't native to Windows. So
okay.
If you install this simple little plugin, you get better integration with Windows Media Player for these other file types. So it's great. And it's free.
Yeah, it's just a plugin for Windows Media Player, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is the back end for Media Center, as you know.
Right. Right. And one of the things that I am, for the podcast, I have not really done much tagging of the metadata for the podcasts. And so if someone were to download my podcast file, they'd see nothing, right? So they wouldn't see a song title or they wouldn't see a show title. So I kind of been messing around with how do I easily manipulate or modify that, the metadata associated with each MP3 file. And MP3 is not a great, right? It's not a lossless format. MP3 is kind of a standard that's been around for a long time. And it compresses the audio file and makes it, it's listenable, right? But it's not really that great, right? That would be your opinion, Rennie?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, there's MP3 files and there's MP3 files, depending on the bit rate it's being compressed to and what you can play it back at. They're getting better. I mean, there's no doubt about it, but, I can still... 90% of the time I can tell the difference between a highly compressed MP3 file and a CD, no problem at all. So.
Right, yeah. Well, the end user put in chat, he uses MP3 tag, and that is, I was just going to mention that. That is a tool I found 4 or 5 weeks back that helped me when I want to do mass edits of MP3 files or if I want to just put that data in the podcast before I send it out to folks when they download it. That's also a free tool. A little more, it's kind of designed around MP3s. So if you have MP3 files that you want to do that for, same kind of idea, allows you to tag them and use them in that way. Rennie, how big is your music collection?
Oh, it's not huge. I'm guessing at about 400 albums, something like that.
Okay. But as far as data goes, how big is that? How much data do you have?
Because most of it's lossless, so I think it's about 3 gig.
Okay. Well, that's not too bad.
It's not huge.
No. Okay. All right. Good enough. Okay, and that's...
Sorry, 30 gig. 30 gig.
30, I was going to say, that's a little small for that, but because I have about 30 gig too, but I probably have 3 times the music that you have, but they're all MP3. Yeah. So BM Productions is what that BM Productions .fixnum.org. We'll drop that in the show notes, and if folks want to go out and try that plugin for Windows Media Player, you are welcome to give that a shot. It's absolutely free and recommended by Rennie. Rennie, thanks for that. All right, Christian, we got to run through Christian's Corner here pretty quick. Tell us what you got.
All right. Okay, you can yell at me for it not being tech, but I just think it's too cool to go unmentioned. Silicon or not, the chemistry buffs over at MIT have finally come up with a solution that makes ketchup go from the bottle that will never go, and it actually, when you're always smacking that ketchup bottle on the kitchen table to try and get it out of those glass containers.
It took guys at MIT to figure this out?
Yeah.
It's like a super, super slick polymer that I can put on the bottom of my sled.
It's called Liquid Glide.
It's a slippery, non-toxic coating that will it just acts like a condiment it's like a structured liquid, so it just lubricates the bottle and comes right out. And
it's rigid like a solid, but it's lubricated rigid like a solid. Liquid.
Yeah. didn't Clark Griswold come up with that?
There's so many places you could go with that.
They call it Liquid Glide.
Do you know that sauces alone are a $17 billion market?
Oh, yeah.
Just in sauces.
Did you just pull that out of the air? Where'd you get that?
No, that's in that article that Christian posted. Oh. $17 billion. And the Liquid Glide group came in second in MIT with $100,000 entrepreneurship competition. This thing took second place, not first, but second. Liquid Glide.
Hey, I think Heinz is going to pay them some big.
You think so?
Some big bucks to get their bottles going.
Liquid Glide. Maybe this is something Waffle House could institute in there.
See, Heinz doesn't want you to do that. They want to that way you can get all of it out of there. They want you to leave a little bit in there so they can sell you more.
That's other gym in chat said soon to be banned in Olympic competition. You know, they're going to start making clothing out of Liquid Glide, right? It's kind of like a solid, but it acts like a liquid. That's kind of scary. All right, Christian, what else? That's pretty cool.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, just very cool.
Not to put any non-silicon news into the into the program, but
you're good.
All right.
You got a deal for us?
Yeah, kind of a weird deal, but a deal nonetheless. Tiger Direct has this build your own kit with the this is what's weird, but bear with me here. It's a 760 MSI board with it says it's socket AM3 plus, but I'm having trouble believing that just because it's a 760 chipset. Maybe someone can clarify that. I think what they really mean is that it's an AM3 socket with an AM3 plus CPU, but I don't know the exacts, but it's got the FX8120, which is that top-end AM3 plus 8-core, and that's unlocked as well. Comes with the DVD-RW, 4 gigs of DDR3 RAM, and I think the bundle itself also has a 1-terabyte hard drive thrown in. So if you're looking for a quick box, if you need an emergency recovery box of some sort, comes with a nice case, and you could put this together smack quick for $350 and get some pretty good performance out of it. And it would probably make a good, you know, emergency box if you blew something at home and you needed a quick throw together.
Eight
at least
core.
That's what I see it is. Yeah.
Yeah. 8-core. So it's a quad core. I mean,
no,
it says 8 cores. Not truly 8 cores. Though.
No, truly 8 cores.
Truly 8 cores.
Yeah, because mine's a 6-core. This is the 8-core version.
Wow.
AMD has the 8-core.
They have an 8-core?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is this a very beefy box, Christian, or is this kind of just average run-of-the-mill?
Oh, it'll give you performance. There's no doubt. I mean, it's going to run a little hot, but all things AMD do, and it's not going to be as fast as your Intel 980FX for $1,000 just for the CPU, but you can do stuff with this box. There's no doubt.
Measure it up to a Core i3 faster than a Core i3?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. For $350.
Yep.
All right. That's a pretty good deal. We'll drop that in the show notes as well. Christian's always good at tracking those down. And then, so just a quick commentary on Oracle versus Google.
I was right. Google won. Google smashed Oracle.
Yeah, they did. Oracle will appeal for sure.
We weren't really expecting anything else, though, were we? I mean, maybe for a second I had these feelings that the underdogs would come out, but Java is too much of a wild beast now for Oracle to come back on patent claims.
Yeah,
I don't know. I sort of got the feeling that if it got too nasty, Google would have just bought Oracle.
Oh, those are fighting words, Andrew. Yeah.
They're looking to buy something at the moment.
I don't know if they could buy Google. Oracle. That would happen.
Google buy Oracle, other way around.
Even that might be a stretch for Google. Oracle's pretty expensive at the moment. I mean, they're doing some good stuff. So there's a good I'll refer you. I don't typically do this, but I just got done listening to This Week in Google, the most recent one from Wednesday. So I guess yesterday. They spend the first 25 minutes of the show talking about this and actually do a pretty nice job of covering it. So if you're interested in that, the litigation behind that and all things that are Oracle versus Google, head over there and have a listen to that podcast.
All right. Google is a 196 market cap. Oracle is 120 plus.
Yeah, so Google's more. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know if they could buy each other.
Yeah.
No comment,
Rennie.
Those cultures are so different. Okay, Andrew, you had you'd put a link in there for a DeLorean bicycle.
Yeah. This is again non.
You're yelling at me for no silicon. Jeez.
Hey, I gave you.
Relax. Everyone relax.
By the way, Google. Watch your screens. Google. The hour Google thing is coming up.
This one popped up on a website the other day that I was looking at, and you know, being a bit of a cyclist, it popped up that DeLorean are back in business. They're not making cars anymore, but they are making push bikes.
Pretty sweet braking system on this thing. Pretty sweet. I mean, I talk about technology though that went into this bike.
So I mean, you know, just at a high level, you know, we're talking about belt drive transmission, 11-speed internally geared hubs, hydraulic disc brakes, luminescent coating on the wheels so that you can be seen at night, you know, all that kind of thing. There's carbon fiber on them, you know, just a nice bike, and they're stainless steel. So,
Did you look at the price?
I didn't want to. I figured the original DeLoreans were a hell of a lot of money, and I don't know that they've gotten the pricing up at the moment. You got to email them.
They don't. And in a sense, you've got to order directly from them, so you know you're screwed.
Oh, yeah, big time. But, you know, how cool would that be? So what do you ride to work? DeLorean.
You know, Rich O'Neill just got a new bike, new specialized bike that he's starting to ride again. So he's kind of – and then he went and found a trainer for like $60 that he's going to put in the basement and use for exercise. I need to get my bike fixed, but this is a sweet – this is a pretty sweet bike.
Yeah, and if you look in the gallery, there's some really they look like they're really nicely put together. Like they're really nice fillet welds on the tubing, and all the cables run down through little glands in the framework, so you don't see anything. It's just a really nicely put together package.
It is a very pretty bike for sure.
Yeah,
you're a bike enthusiast. I wonder what kind of performance rating it would get though if you threw it at a triathlete or a racing person. I wonder what kind of performance they'd give it.
Given the picture of the one of their pictures where it's got pedals on it, it's got nylon pedals. I wouldn't think very high.
Yeah. It's purely for the man.
It's got awesome componentry on it.
The man who has everything, right? That's what this thing is. Oh, hey, Sarah, you were looking for some things for my birthday. you can add that one to it. No, just kidding. She'll never buy it. All right, good stuff. So for the man who has everything, the DeLorean bike, and that's made by the same company that made the cars, or are they like just stealing the name?
No, I think it looks like it's out of the same. Well, I reckon they're using the name, probably on the license.
Probably are.
I can't say John DeLorean's going to be that excited about a push bike.
You'll only hear it here on the Average Guy podcast. That's it. Yeah, DeLorean bike, Average Guy podcast. We've got it all. We need Tim Black in chat to put dollar signs in there. That's
somebody put some type of dollar sign in there.
I think that's the euro sign in there, or something like that. In fact, I got an email from Drobo. Speaking of dollar signs, I got an email from Drobo today, and they got some new product that's coming out here in the fall that we might get a look at here on the Home Server Show. So that should be pretty fun. And he said that should have been pounds. Jim was trying to get that in pounds.
I recommended a Drobo to somebody today.
Really?
Yep.
Nice.
Jim's going to give you a gold medal in the mail.
Hold on. Full disclosure, right? All right. So yeah, I had trouble with my Drobo last night. I had installed a bunch of updates to the Windows Home Server because that's the Drobo comes off. That's the external storage for the Windows Home Server. And we'll talk about this more in depth next week in the Home Server Show. But it basically kind of wiped out the USB 3 connection between the Drobo and the Home Server. So probably not Drobo's fault. It was probably some software I put on the Windows Home Server. But it lost connectivity, and I had been putting my SkyDrive out to the Drobo. You know, I've centralized my SkyDrive app onto one PC, and it's the Home Server. So, and then I share that folder out across the network, so I don't have to have the Dropbox app on every – SkyDrive and Dropbox on every single PC. I can just get to it from anywhere. Well, as soon as Dropbox didn't see that the folder was there anymore, it just started deleting my Dropbox. It's like, oh, you deleted – for whatever reason, it got the – you deleted the folder message instead of those folders are just missing message. And so all of a sudden, my entire Dropbox, whoop, wiped out. Now, this is a great average guy tip. On Dropbox, when it's deleted, it's not really deleted. Okay, Dropbox keeps everything. So I just went back in there, did a revision history, and it said, oh, yeah, you just deleted all these files 2 minutes ago. Do you want to put them back? And so I went folder by folder, put them back, it restored them. And then I got the Home Server fixed and made it work. So, word to the wise with Dropbox: be careful if that whatever drive you have it on, if it comes up missing and you boot your computer without that drive available, could cause you a problem. So, just a word to the wise. SkyDrive actually handled it really well.
Jim, just on the subject of deleting stuff, on Windows Home Server 2011, if you delete a file from there, where the hell does it go?
Oh, I love having another Aussie on the show. It's awesome.
Well, there's if you've got versioning turned on, it's really not gone. I mean, it's there. It's just not. I mean, you can't see it. It's deleted, but you can go back unless you kind of delete it and all versions of it. It doesn't come. Completely go away. Now I have not messed around with that function very much on the home server, but if you deleted
doesn't seem to go into the
recycle
trash can. Or...
Yeah, no, it. I've got mine up right here, and I've got the trash can up, and there. Actually, when those files got deleted from Dropbox last night, they actually went into the recycle bin and showed up in there. So they do some of them. You can. You probably can't see that because it's too bright.
You know, it's bad when you go to a programming conference and there's programmers talking about versioning their version repositories.
yeah. It's so Rennie. It should go to the trash. But even if it's deleted, it may still be. If you've got version history turned on, it still might. I think shadow copy is what they call it. John Zadler would be a good guy to ask on that. He's a little more, he's better at that. I'll say. He's a little mo better than me.
A little more better.
Yeah. So, and of course, when you back it up, you're supposed to back it up 3 times, but all us Windows Home Server guys back it up maybe 5 or 6 or 10 different places.
Well, this is a recorded TV file, which I generally don't back up. So.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I don't back mine up either. And it got deleted?
It got deleted. Yeah. Can't find it.
Go to the we'll talk offline about it when we're done here.
Okay.
I can take a peek at my server and see what's there. All right. One final thing just to remind folks that we will be doing some podcasting, I hope, this weekend as we do some live reviews of the Lumia 800. and we'll be talking about Nokia, Nokia Music, and some of the apps. So watch the Twitter account, The Average Guy TV. I'll be posting when we're going to be live. It'll probably be Sunday around 1 or 2 p.m. Central. So if you're interested in catching us live, if you're a Windows Phone user and you got some things to say about the Windows Phone, or a Nokia customer and you got some things to say about a Windows-based Nokia phone, love to have you on the podcast. And shoot me a note on Twitter with at Jay Collison, or email me podcast@theaverageguy.tv, and Matt will get you on the show maybe this weekend. And then one note, I've been testing the pre-release of Microsoft Security Essentials, and all is good. So if you thought about where is Microsoft going with the next version of Security Essentials, we all install that on the PC the very first thing. When we do PC reinstalls, I think most of us put that on first or second, or are actually very close to the very beginning, especially when we're doing it for our friends and family. That's the first thing that always goes on.
Absolutely.
The pre-release is out. You can actually beta test it yourself. I think it's connect.microsoft.com.
Yep.
Sign up, and then you can get the beta if you want to give it a try. If you're an enthusiast, it doesn't look any different, doesn't do anything different. It's just the same thing. And somebody put, Brian had put out there, which version 4, and Brian, I have to go back and check the numbers. I think it's 4. I think it'll say 3 in the pre-release, but I think it's going to 4, or it says 4 in the pre-release, and it's going to go to 5 when the final version comes out. So I'd have to double check on that as well. All right, guys, well, we're way over our time, and again, I appreciate you coming out. Rennie, great to have you on the podcast tonight, and if you're open to it, I'd like to add you into the regular schedule about every 8 weeks. Do you think that might work for you?
I've enjoyed it, Jim. Thanks very much for having me on.
Yeah, it's good to have you.
Say yes. I need another Aussie.
We will, so that you can balance Andrew out. It's good to have two Australians on the show. So appreciate you coming out, Mike. It's always good to have you on as well, and to catch up on the latest JPEG to RAW news.
Thanks for coming out.
Yep, good to have you. And remember, help me pass Mike up on Stitcher. Go out and listen to the Home Tech Podcast, Stitcher.com, and let's see if I can catch Mike Howard's number. Christian, this will be the last week that you'll podcast from Buffalo, and the next time we see you, you'll be in somewhere in a very secure location in Virginia. Is that right?
This is true, unless we do a packing podcast, which I'm not sure if that's manageable.
Let's not push it. I'm sure
we'll fill with Gary's grumbles.
Yeah, Gary will fill in for you, but I am anxious to see your new digs in Virginia and have you on. Andrew, great to have you make it through an entire podcast.
I know, what's with that?
Good to have you on as well. It's always good to catch up with you, and good to catch up with you guys. I'll remind folks, we record every Thursday night out at theaverageguy.tv live. So if you're catching this on iTunes or YouTube, or you download it on Podomatic, surprisingly, I still post out there, come over to theaverageguy.tv/live Thursday nights, 8 o'clock Central, and we're live each and every week. Of course, you can catch it recorded in just about any forum in any place. But the best place to do is to come over to theaverageguy.tv and pick it up there. We'll do it again next Thursday, and summer's on its way here in the United States, and I cannot be happier. So we'll do it all again next week. Everybody have a great week. Good night, guys.
Night.
Night.
Can I add one more thing you might want to
leave? Yeah.
Don't forget to go to iTunes and leave a comment about the show.
Oh, yeah. And, I should say this. This is a Mike Howard line. Make sure before you leave theaverageguy.tv live, click on the ad. You don't have to buy anything. Just click on the ad down below. It helps the show make a little bit of money so that I can pay the bills and the bandwidth. And Sarah appreciates that with the bills. All right. Have a great night, guys. We'll see you back here next week. Good night.
Good night, guys.
Not all.